Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday, our new time slot, noon to 3. We continue the NFL talk, and I am so excited. Reunited, and it feels so good with our best friend, Tim Hasselbeck, the head coach at Innsworth and also ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, it's so good to talk to you. How are you?
Hey, it is great to be on. And by the way, like, I appreciate, like, as you kind of give my bio to introduce me, Chase, that you lead with, you know, the Innsworth, you know, football coach. That's, I mean, come a long way in a year. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. You know what? I actually want to start with that. I mean, you're over a year in. You got a season under your belt. Now you're going into year two. How is it being a high school football coach?
You know, it's been a lot of fun. Listen, I know you guys have a passion for high school football and appreciate it. I think a lot of people do, that whether they played it or at a high school, that it was a you know, important part of their experience. And so, you know, having year in of coaching around the kids, seeing them grow and develop, and then also you know, being able to coach with, you know, a group of guys that, you know, it's really fun to be around, guys that love coaching the kids and seeing the kids develop. I mean, you know, you hear people say, like, it being rewarding, but it most certainly has been. Excited for another year, for sure.
So let's get into the Titans. You know, we haven't had a chance to really talk to you. We were at a few practices last week, and I got to admit, Cam Ward has definitely looked like a rookie. He has struggled at times. I mean, there were even a few passes where the D-line had figured out, you know, that he's got the sidearm, and they were batting the ball down at the offensive line. You could tell he really needed to adjust, and being in the pads and the speed of the NFL, I'm not panicking by any means, but it just tells me that there's simply things he's just not ready for. Should fans be, you know, maybe be prepared that they come to the conclusion that he might not be ready for game one and just have to kind of go through some struggles, or how do you view it?
Yeah, I mean, I think people should absolutely expect that there's rarely do you see the situations where guys come in and it's just all perfect, right? And, you know, I think there, unfortunately, have been some guys that have ruined that for people. You know, Jaden Daniels comes in and plays great, and so the expectations are that, like, well, okay, that's how it should go for everybody. And it's just not, especially when, you know, you go to a team that maybe, you know, just the talent around, you know, the quarterback position, you know, isn't necessarily conducive to that guy having a great rookie season. So I think everyone should maybe some rough moments. I think everyone should also understand that, like, there's no reason for panic when that happens, and that it's important to be patient. I mean, look, Bryce Young, who I think Carolina is still really excited about, I mean, he got benched for Andy Dalton, you know? So I think that, you know, not everyone's path is exactly the same. And so I think there are things that, you know, all quarterbacks need to learn. So, and I would say, just like, you know, Chase, you bring up, like, balls batted at the line of scrimmage. Look, he's a guy that, in large part, you know, Incarnate Word, Washington State, Miami, was in the shotgun a lot. You know, and you're removed from the line of scrimmage. That's different than, you know, times playing under center. And I think he'll play under center more than he has at any other spot, you know, this season with the Titans. And so things like that, you know, you need to grow as a quarterback to navigate through things like getting balls batted at the line of scrimmage, playing under center.
Well done. Tim Hasselbeck, as long as Chase and McJoe. I mean, Tim, it's so good to hear your voice.
I mean, listen, I know that you're happy for, like, the zinger I try to give you on the way out of the segment.
I think it's the greatest. I'm so excited to have you on here. I actually got a serious question for once. If you had 15 minutes with Cam Ward today, what would you tell him about approaching the first preseason game?
I think what I would tell him, Joe, is that nobody cares as much as he cares about it. And the reason I say that is, you know, in my role at ESPN, I've covered a lot of preseason games because we cover them in many respects the way we do, at least in my role, the regular season games. And I remember as a player, I put so much into it. Like, to me, that was the Super Bowl. And I'm not saying that it is for Cammy, who's number one overall, but like for me, it was like my career was a single pass. And that's just not the case. It's not the case to define what kind of rookie season he's going to have or career he's going to have, or define the kind of player he is. But because it's like your first action as a kid, like you grow up and you're like, hey, I'm like, I want to be a pro player. And you work so hard through high school and college with this like goal many times of to go play in the National Football League. And that first time out, I think you can make it way bigger than it needs to be, when the reality is you're not really game planning. Just go out there, have fun, and play football, because that's what you're doing. I think I would give that advice to any rookie playing in their first NFL game, even in the preseason.
How much do you want to see him, or do we need to see him Saturday against Tampa Bay?
So I think it's important to play and develop and get reps, time on task, at the hardest position in sports. So it's one of the things I've been really strong about in terms of, look, Trey Lance – I think he struggled because he played very little football from the time he left high school to the time he got drafted by the Niners. And I think there are other quarterbacks that you can look at them and say, like, look, he hadn't played a ton of football. Anthony Richardson, like from the time he left high school to the time he ends up with the Colts, like there's not a lot of time on task. Cam Ward's going to leave, left college basically with nearly 2,500 pass attempts. He has got a lot of time on task. Much like Brock Purdy comes out with, 45 starts or whatever it was, in college. He had time on task. So I actually think it's less important for somebody like Cam Ward because of how much he's played in college. He's a little bit of an outlier with some of these young quarterbacks that we've seen come out in recent years. But I would say that I would want to see him for a minimum of two series. But I also think that it would be okay to play him a half. Like I think in that range would be totally acceptable.
I agree with that. Tim Hasselbeck has joined us on the Chase and Big Joe show. Tim, in college, my defensive line coach was like my second dad. I mean, he yelled at me, he screamed at me, but he loved on me. It was great. I didn't really pay attention to the defensive coordinator because he was a linebacker coach. Where I'm going with this is Cam Ward's got a quarterback coach. He's got an offensive coordinator. He's got a head coach. It's all involved on the offensive side of the ball. Is that too much for a quarterback, or should Cam gravitate towards his quarterback coach or towards the OC? What would you do? Because I think that's a lot of voices in a young guy's head.
Hey, so this is really interesting. I feel like I'm living it over here at Ensworth, okay? So my son is a starting quarterback. So, like, I'm the head coach. Matthew's the offensive coordinator, so like he clearly knows way more than me, played much longer and much better. And then our quarterback coach is Alex Hornibrook, who started 30 years at Wisconsin. So I'm not sure who Taylor, my son, I'm not sure who he listens to. Probably not me. I need to get that figured out. Here's what I would say, and I think this is what I would say about Cam, and I think just listening to him answer questions, I feel like he's doing this. I feel like he's a sponge. I feel like he's taking it all in. And I think that is, if you're smart enough, you can do that. And it doesn't mean that everything that you take in, you like has the same amount of weight and you identify with it the same exact way. And so I think what I'm saying there is this. I think there's a lot of quarterback knowledge on the coaching staff with the Titans. Really do. And so I think that as a young player who's also been coached by other good, offensive coaches and quarterback coaches, absorb it. Take it in. Understand what works for you, what you relate to. And I think you sort through and do the best you can with all of that. Like, he clearly is a hard worker. He clearly is somebody that's got a passion for football and a desire to be really good. I think ultimately, just make sure you don't get bogged down by all the information, chasing it all and having the same weight on every single coaching point.
He is ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck and the head coach of the Ensworth Tigers. We'll have more with Tim coming up next here on Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Tuesday. The Chase and Big Joe Show presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, and continuing our conversation with Tim Hasselbeck, head coach at Innsworth and ESPN NFL analyst. We've talked a lot about the quarterback, and one thing that I have said pretty much since he was drafted was Brian Callahan's going to be evaluated less on the win total and more on the development of Cameron Ward. Would you agree with that?
I do. I totally agree with that. Typically speaking, when a quarterback is playing well, the head coach doesn't get fired. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and sometimes it's just, you know, the progress that somebody sees, you know, in a quarterback. So that's why the pick is so important. When you make it, you do have to believe in the guy, because in many ways, as a head coach, you're attaching yourself completely, you know, to that quarterback. And if you think about the example of, you know, Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco, like, that typically does not happen. You know, you don't draft Trey Lance with a third overall pick, him not work out, and still, you know, get credit for Brock Purdy. So, yeah, I think that I think you have to truly believe in somebody. And I think that, you know, it seemed like there was very strong conviction that Cam was the right guy to try to build around for the Titans.
Well, one thing, Tim, that, you know, we've seen for years, I mean, you know this, playing the position, that sometime a young quarterback's best friend is a tight end. And the mm-hmm. Titans have struggled in that department. Chig Okonkwo has shown flashes, but I don't think he's truly run away with the position. Now they draft Gunnar Helm out of Texas, who I really, really like, and he has had a really good camp. How important could he be to Cam Ward in his rookie year?
Look, I think it's huge. I think talent around the position, period, you know, is a big deal. But certainly, you know, when you have, you know, a talented tight end, somebody that can work the middle of the field, you know, the ball's not in the air as long as it is when you start traveling outside the numbers, you know, because of where the hash marks are in pro football. It's a little bit different than playing in college football, where you basically are playing in the middle of the field, which makes, you know, which makes throwing in between the hashes or in between the numbers, you know, more important. So, look, I think it's easy to just look around the league and find, you know, these quarterbacks that have had a lot of sustained success. You know, oftentimes there's somebody, whether it's a tight end or not, but oftentimes it is a tight end because of just how you line up. Where there's just a trust factor, a feel, a connection, you know, that helps. Like when things aren't going well, or it's a third and four, or a third and seven, you got to have it, you know, where the quarterback ends up looking.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck on the Chase and Big Joe Show. You talked about the dynamic, Tim, between you and your brother. As a head coach, I mean, do you make suggestions to Matthew? Do you let him go? How does this work? I'm always fascinated by this.
Yeah. So I didn't know how I would be. I thought I would kind of be, you know, a control freak and like, and like, why did you call that? Like, here, let's do that. And fortunately I wasn't, you know, and really I kind of just stay out of the way, you know, for him, which is good. So probably when I do suggest something or say something, he's probably a little bit more receptive to it. And so, you know, look, I grew up, you know, and Matthew and I, we shared a room, right? So we've, you know, we were best men in each other's weddings. We were, you know, we had been teammates before. And so I think our dynamic has actually been very easy, and doesn't mean we haven't had disagreements, but it's been pretty easy. I think what it's interesting, like, you know, Brian Callahan, Bill Callahan dynamic, where it's like, hey man, like, before you could ever do anything, like, I was doing things for you. So if I tell you that this is how we're going to block power this week, like, you're just going to take my advice.
Oh, there you go. Then now, I guess like a fourth and one or a fake punt, are you on that? Because some coaches are, head coaches are, some coaches, head coaches don't want to know.
So I am on that. And I'm watching. I don't know if you guys watched the series Quarterback, you know, this series, but I just got through the episode where Dan Campbell and the Lions were playing the Packers, and he basically was like, "We're going for it every fourth down." I don't know that I'm ever going to take that approach, but yeah, like it's I do think the dynamic of making sure you trust the people that you work with,
right?
is probably the most important thing. And look, I think that applies. I mean, you guys know this. Like, I think it applies in what you're doing. I think it applies in you know, a lot of businesses where it's like you have to be able to trust the people that you're working with. And I do. I think that makes good football teams, good coaching staffs. I think it leads to success. And I think there's a level of unselfishness when that stuff happens.
Oh, I totally agree. We stole a line from you that you told us probably 12, 13 years ago about playing quarterback in the National Football League. If you're not a starter and you're a journeyman, you said, keep playing to all 32 teams tell mm-hmm. you no. Teddy Bridgewater is back with Tampa Bay, signed today. People are like, oh, what in the world? I mean, keep playing, right, until they tell you to hit the road.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a great, topic this time of year. You know, a lot of people kind of gripe about these preseason games and, you know, it's a bunch of backups and there aren't the starters. And, you know, there's a saying that, you know, preseason games don't count, which is true. But the thing I can tell you is they matter. And they matter to guys that are fighting for a career. And who knows? Might be somebody that turns into having an amazing NFL career as a starter. I mean, there are guys like, you know, Jake Delhomme that had taken teams to a Super Bowl, Kurt Warner for that matter. So, like, they matter. And, if you're crediting me for that line, I appreciate it because I stole that line from Matt Kavanaugh. So typically what I do, I don't know, I should be careful now that I work at a school. I usually credit somebody the first time I use it, and then after that, I just steal it and it's mine. So, I got cut by the Baltimore Ravens, and it was the second team that I had been cut by. It was my rookie year, and like a lot of guys that are going to face this over the next few weeks, I thought, like, what am I doing? Like how long? Like, I don't want to be that 37-year-old, minor leaguer that, like, is never going to make it, Like, I didn't want to do that. But at the same time, I wasn't ready to be done playing football. And, Matt Kavanaugh had been a teammate of my father's at the New England Patriots. And he, for the most part, was a backup quarterback throughout his career. And he's like, look, we're going to cut you tomorrow. On Hard Knocks, by the way. So like that just to add a little sting to the getting cut. And he's like, look, my advice to you is play till all 32 teams tell you you can't. And that just stuck with me because it was like, there's an embarrassment to being cut. There's there's doubt that's created when you get cut. And I think that, having a coach that's like, look, just because this isn't the fit for you here doesn't mean that somewhere else can't be your landing spot. And I appreciated that. And it's definitely something that stuck with me throughout my career. And hopefully other guys, take a similar approach.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. There's obviously a lot of discussion of how long Cam's going to play in the first preseason game and then obviously the other two. To me, I want to see the offensive line, no matter who mm-hmm. the quarterback is, play – really through the first half. I mean, go into halftime and come back out because that unit needs a lot of work.
Yeah, and you have new guys, right? Like, it's been nearly a full overhaul, of guys. And so, I think when you do that, you want to see people, play together. And, the other thing you may want to do is say, okay, well, we may play different combinations. We may want to see, somebody play in an environment, next to someone that we haven't given them a ton of reps next to. So I think all of those things, when you look at the, the roster construction, that has to exist in the NFL now, you're not dressing 10 linemen, every NFL Sunday. You're not doing that just because of, roster constraints. So because of that, you say, okay, well, like, this guy's a swing tackle. This guy, look, like, he can play center in a certain environment. So I think it's a good point, Chase, just when you talk about guys playing next to one another because of how that unit, has to be in sync. So, I know there are a lot of coaches, who's probably my favorite coach of all time. Like, he doesn't play guys much in the preseason. So it's hard for me to say that, like, that's a bad model. At the same time, you only get a few of these opportunities to see how ready you are, when you do start counting the games. And I don't think it's a bad thing to get guys ready.
I'm with you. Tim, one more question for me here. We have this debate all the time. Who in your mind, and you cannot pick your brother, do you think is the greatest NFL quarterback of all time? Now, don't factor in Super Bowls, nothing else, but simply the greatest quarterback of all time. Mechanics, the way he played the game, the way he threw the football. Who's number one for you?
For the longest time, I think I'd have said John Elway. Like, that would have been the one for me. That era, the arm strength, like, you know, he was a pocket passer, but he could create. So, you know, like, early on for me was Elway. Now, I will tell you, and this will be a very unpopular, you know, opinion, you know, for a lot of people, but, you know, I was also in the league at the time that Brett Favre was playing and playing at a really high level. And he would do things that other guys couldn't do. And so I always look at it through a lens, Joe, of when your peers, when other people are like, man, that's different. Like, that sticks out to me. Like, I don't have a musical bone in my body, but I'm sure there's some, like, insane guitarist, you know, in some band.
Yeah.
And that every other guy in a band is like, yeah, but that guy's different. Right? Like, that guy's uncommon. When I was in the NFL as a player, Brett Favre was the guy that was uncommon.
Love it.
That's a pretty good answer.
I love that.
Very good answer. Tim, we're excited about doing this every week and obviously keeping up with Innsworth and you are all season. So looking forward to Tuesdays at 1 with you.
Yeah, hey, listen, when are you guys coming? Like, that's what, like, I'll reserve the parking, you know, the spots. We'll get those in the. I know Joe is going to want, like, a sideline pass,
yep.
You know, a lot of that stuff. But, like you guys, like, when are you going to be here?
You let us know. We're there.
When's your next scrimmage?
Friday night, Gallatin at Innsworth.
Oh, okay.
If I don't see you there, I would. You just let me know. Like, we'll. Just like Jerry Glanville used to leave tickets for Elvis. Like, I'm leaving tickets for you,
yes!
You guys, August 22nd when Whitehaven comes to Innsworth.
Love it.
Okay, love it, love it. Thanks, Tim. We'll talk next week.
All right, fellas. Good to be on with you. See you.
Absolutely. Tim Hasselbeck joining us on the program, and he will be a part of our show every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. And, you know, obviously cool that – he's getting to coach with his brother and was coaching with his late father who just passed away in April.
Yeah.
As well, and coaching his son. I mean, that's got to be really cool.
Oh, absolutely it is.
So excited to have Tim on with us every week. Coming up next, we'll reset our question of the day. The 12 o'clock hour got a little wonky there, but we will reset that and also talk about the Netflix doc that's out now on the SEC. Do that coming up here on Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. And we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.